Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, December 1, 2024, Romans.
All right, you're the one that survived Thanksgiving. Congratulations. We have a few announcements. We have a lot of different things that are going to be taking place here. Rich Blair is going to be conducting a Bible classes, Bible study at the Legacy House Centennial. No, that's the wrong one. At the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. And it was supposed to start this week, December 4th. But some of the people there got sick, so we don't know if it's going to start December 4th of the next week. But it'll start here pretty soon. And this is what they will have there, a heavenly Bible class. You see, you have that here every time. A heavenly Bible class. Wednesdays 3 to 4. Come on in, ladies. Normally I have you do push-ups, but you don't have to. Wednesdays 3 to 4 p.m. in the assisted living activity room, we will be listening to the Heaven Special, taught by this character, Richard Olson, pastor of Upland Bible Church. Bring your Bible if you have one. So this will be there, and the people will come up. They'll be listening to the Heaven series. That's at Las Ventanas Senior Living. Maybe starting this week, if not next week. And then we have this Saturday, the evangelism team has a Christmas program at Legacy House Centennial Hills. It's a Christmas program, but the gospel's given, and so you can pray for that, that God would prepare the hearts of the people and draw by his hand of grace everyone who's supposed to be there. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and that God might use this to his honor and glory to bring many sons into glory. Now also, starting this morning, you won't see Debbie Sunday mornings, because for the rest of this month until the 22nd, she will be working with the little people for the Christmas play. The Christmas play will be Sunday, December 22nd. Sunday, December 22nd. It will be an extravaganza. Randy and Dodie have a fantastic hour presentation that just blow your, I don't know what, blow something. It's fantastic, and Grace Gospel is given fantastic music and slideshow, and then the little people will be involved in that, and then they have their Christmas program. And so pray for the little people that they speak clearly and loudly. Now, a lot of times little people are really loud, except when they get in front of you and they see adults out there and they freeze up. So pray that they speak clearly and loudly, that the grace gospel is given clearly. And this is the time, I don't encourage you to bring unbelievers to a local church. This is a place for believers to assemble so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But this Sunday, December 22nd, that's the time to bring your unbelieving friends, relatives, family, neighbors. This is the time to bring them, because out of the mouth of babes, they will hear the grace gospel, and it's a great opportunity for evangelism, and we do it one special day every year. This time it will be Sunday, December 22nd. So you can pray for Deb and the kids and Randy and Dodie and the whole thing. Probably need several other deacons involved too, and deacons always need prayer. You know how that goes. So the only other announcement is that UNLV has got a chance to win the national championship. Still in the hunt, and they'll probably play Oregon and beat them. Those guys can't play worth diddle. So it'll be UNLV and Oregon, and UNLV winning the whole shebang. Now, I really would have loved it if Army had beaten Notre Dame, but that didn't happen. So anyway, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to this fantastic chapter, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This last week, one of the very great communicators of the Word of God, Hal Lindsey, was called home to be with the Lord. He was 95 years old. And Hal was under the colonel's ministry for a long time, and he had a special ministry. Tom Gilbreth wrote this article, and it's very excellent. It's called Remembering Hal. I've heard many stories through the years of Hal Lindsey and other well-known Bible teachers getting together at Hal's house for marathon talk fests. Sometimes they went far into the night. They talked about God, heaven, and the deep things of the Word of God. I've often thought how great it would have been to quietly listen in on one of those sessions. Well, it won't be long. Imagine sitting in the heavenly equivalent of a coffee shop with Hal and others, sounds of laughter, animated discussion fill the room. Entering heaven does not mean we will know everything. We will be exploring the eternal depths of God forever. And such discussions will be part of that ongoing exploration. Paul will be there. Peter and the boys, they might drop in. Moses and Elijah might be with them. If that sounds far-fetched, you need to remember the eternal nature of heaven. It lasts forever, without time limits. We will be able to enjoy old friends and new from all generations and in every possible combination, again and again and again. Best of all, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there and He will join us. In this month, we celebrate the Lord's incarnation and birth, the greatest miracle the world has ever known, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. At His incarnation, Jesus Christ took on true humanity. That is still His form and will be forever, both as God and man. He will sit at the table with us. Hal Lindsey left planet Earth on November 25th, 2024. He was 95 years old. But his death was only superficial, neither complete nor permanent. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Hal is present with the Lord, face to face with Him, eye to eye, smile to smile. Hal's death here on earth was real, but it in no way diminished his eternal life in Jesus. That's why I say it was only superficial. Spurgeon said, death cannot kill a believer. It can only usher him into a freer form of life. On social media, I noticed several people expressed disappointment that Hal not being around for the rapture. But that's not correct. Hal will be there at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 describes the rapture with these words. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. A famous American spiritual calls it that great getting up morning. The dead in Christ will be right in the middle of the rapture event. They will get their new resurrection bodies just before those who are alive and remain get theirs. Jesus said in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. While we mourn our loss, we remember that it is only temporary. We will see Hal again, and along with all those who have died in Christ, with our own eyes and in our own bodies, we will see and experience the ancient promise, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54, Isaiah 25 verse 8. Heaven's grandeur is beyond human description. But it is not just magnificent. It is also personal. As personal as a cup of coffee with great friends, or private time with the greatest friend of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. And do you understand the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That includes personal love for God the Father, a great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Occupation with Jesus Christ means Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. And you've heard me say many times, I think about the fact of occupation with Christ. Jesus Christ is at home in my heart, sitting in an easy chair. I don't see him with a cup of coffee. I see him with a glass of wine. And I'm in my easy chair with a glass of wine, and the fireplace is going. We got our fireplace going. In Las Vegas, you still need a fireplace. And just enjoying each other, enjoying him. And that's my reality in my soul every day. To be in that easy chair, Jesus Christ made himself at home in my heart, and enjoying him moment by moment, day by day. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life for why you are here. So, you know, there's great, the colonel is in heaven. Al Lindsay's in heaven. So many great believers are in heaven. And if the Lord tarries, the rapture isn't around the corner, although it might be, then we'll be in heaven too, absent from the body and face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's reality. But the rapture takes place, we receive our resurrection body. Right after that, the great genuflex, and then the judgment seat of Christ, where crowns and rewards are given to the winner believers that have attained spiritual maturity. And those crowns and rewards, well, they glorify God for all eternity. So here we are in Romans chapter 8, a very special chapter. The human author, well, maybe the greatest human genius of all time, the Apostle Paul. Combine that with the inspiration ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, you have a chapter like Romans chapter 8, where the spotlight is placed on the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. Now, we've exegeted the first five verses, and it sounds like this in corrected translation. Therefore, now, there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Jesus Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending his own Son, the eternal Son of God, left heaven on that first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, when the eternal God took on true humanity to go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. The greatest miracle the world will ever know. Accomplished by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he took on true humanity, and to atone for sin, unlimited atonement, he paid for the sins of the whole world. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. For the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us, the ones who do not walk, who do not live according to the sin nature, but who walk and live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit-filled life, keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. And that is God and His Word. Now that brought us to a very important doctrine in the Word of God, the doctrine of mental attitude. And we studied the first three points. The first point was definition and description. Mental attitude is the function of human thought. Now, I realize we're living at a time when there's not a lot of thinking going on out there. Think, damn it, think. You know, that's the whole point. You need to be thinking. Your mental attitude is what you think at any given time. And therefore, thinking is the battlefield of your soul. That's our verse, Romans 8:5. The believer out of fellowship with God thinks the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. The believer living the spiritual life thinks the things of the Spirit, God, and the Word of God. The greatest battle in our life is the battle of the soul. And we have two great power options for the spiritual life in the church age. The first power is the power of God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. The second power is the power of the God-breathed Scriptures, Hebrews 4, verse 12. What you really are as a person is what you really think, not what you appear on the outside or on the surface. And that's Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are commanded to have the same mental attitude which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2, verse 5. The Word of God is the thinking or the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And your thinking can either make you or break you, depending on whether your thought is human viewpoint garbage or divine viewpoint, 1 Corinthians 10:12, Galatians 6:3. The difference between living the sin nature in the cosmic system and living the spiritual life depends on the thinking in your soul. Thinking falls into two categories for the believer, either divine viewpoint from the Word of God in your heart or human viewpoint from living in the cosmic system by the sin nature. Divine viewpoint is the thinking of the believer positive to Bible doctrine. The advancing believer, the thinking of the spiritually mature believer is far different from the generally accepted thought patterns of the world. Therefore, the believer is set apart as unique, unique when you attain spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Uniqueness is reflected in his thinking, in his actions, and the manifestation of impersonal love for all mankind. The spiritual skills of the spiritual life require the fulfillment of the divine mandates regarding mental attitude. The divine mandate related to spiritual skill, number one, the filling of the Spirit, is Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking, living your life by the agency of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the divine mandate related to spiritual skill, number two, perception of Bible doctrine, 2 Peter 3:18. Keep on growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then point two was spiritual documentation, such as Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. Everybody knows the first part of this. They don't look at the whole thing, however. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then he explains. And he says to you, eat and drink like he's your friend. But his heart, what he's thinking in his heart, is against you. So while on the outside he seems to be your friend, in his thinking he's your enemy. His heart is against you. What a person thinks in his heart is what he really is. Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, well, he deceives himself. The thinking of the grace-oriented believer, when you are growing up in the grace orientation through consistent and faithful learning and believing in the Word of God, when that takes place in your thinking, God is everything and you are nothing. You realize God is everything, you are nothing. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts, this is God's thoughts, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovation of your thought, your thinking, that you may prove what the will of God is, namely, that which is divine good production, well-pleasing to God, and perfect, the status quo of spiritual maturity. For I say, through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance, beyond what you ought to think, but think in terms of sound judgment for the purpose of being rational without illusion, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from doctrine. Philippians 2:5. Keep on having this mental attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:2. Keep thinking objectively about the things above, not on the things on the earth. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that brought us to point three, the importance of thinking Bible doctrine. From our thinking comes our motivation. From our motivation comes our decisions. From our decisions comes our lifestyle. What you think depends upon your attitude toward God and the Word of God. Learning the Word of God is tantamount to thinking the Word of God. Thinking the Word of God is tantamount to the application of the Word of God. You have to learn the Word of God before you can think the Word of God. You have to think the Word of God before you can apply the Word of God. Now that brings us to point four. Point four, rapport in the royal family is based on divine viewpoint, thinking the Word of God. Specifically, it's the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that's the ultimate objective of why we're here. Then your personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ will motivate you to have impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all. And we have seen Philippians 2:5, but I want you to see the whole passage. So turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. If, therefore, there is any encouragement in Christ as a result of being in union with Jesus Christ, first class condition, yes, there is. If there is any encouragement in Christ, first class condition, and there is, if there is any comfort from virtue love, well, first class condition, absolutely there's comfort from virtue love. If there is any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, this is all characteristics of impersonal love for all mankind. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Now, when you get a bunch of believers that have attained spiritual maturity, guess what? You have the same thinking. You're on the same page. That's what is so great about being around other mature believers. You're all on the same page. Now, I get a phone call from my brother Don up in Washington every Monday. And he's a mature believer. And we talk, we are on the exact same page. I say this, yeah, yeah, and then he says, yeah, yeah, we're on the exact same page. We think the exact same thing because you're spiritually mature believers. But when you're not, well, you think your thing. And there's always fighting and arguing, and I don't believe that, and this is wrong, and this is that, and that. Because you haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You haven't attained spiritual maturity. You don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And so you're not on the same page. You're on your own page. You've written your own book. See, I haven't written any books. I let God do that. And I had somebody call me and say, I'm not sure if we can really trust the Koine Greek. I said, really? Is this a breakthrough? I'm not really sure we can really trust that. I said, well, now, the New Testament scriptures, you know, Paul, he didn't write in English. He didn't write King James. He wrote in his... As a human author, he wrote in Greek, Koine Greek. And so here you have Paul and you have Peter and the boys, and under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that is the God-breathed scriptures is absolute truth. That's exactly what God wanted communicated to you and to me. Exactly what God wanted to communicate. It's in the God-breathed scriptures, which is Koine Greek for the New Testament and Hebrew and Aramaic for the Old Testament. Not in your English translations. I got three Bibles up here. They're all different and they all... have a different translation because they're translations. None of your English Bibles are the God-breathed scriptures. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you have a spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And the Bible says he's supposed to prepare for the ministry. How does he prepare for the ministry? He needs to go to a seminary that teaches the languages. Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek. And my pastor at Bethany Bible Church, Pastor Breckel, he went to Dallas Theological Seminary. He majored in the languages. And he took me aside and he said, Dick, when you get to Dallas, you get all the languages you can get. That is God's expression to us, exactly what he's trying to say. It's in the Koine Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. That was from Pastor Breckel. And then Pastor Thiem came and talked to us, and he told us the exact same thing. The exact same thing. And I respect those men to the nth degree. I love them, respect them, because they totally nailed how important the God-breathed scriptures are. Now, I study in the Koine Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. I do all my study and then write it down. All my notes are written. I never learned to type. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the pastor has to learn to type. I write everything down. I know all you guys can type. You're way ahead of me on that. But I come from the old school. Well, I think they had typing in the old school too. But and so I said, you know, the only Bible that you can trust 100% is the Koine Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic. That's the only thing you can trust 100%. All the translations are translations. Now, a pastor's job is to study and then take one of the translations and tell you exactly what's being said here. This is exactly what God is trying to say to us in this verse and in this passage. So, here we have. He says, verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Same mind. And when you get believers that attain spiritual maturity, you're all on the same in the same mind, same thinking, same page, maintaining the same virtue love. The same virtue love. Motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, the glorification of God. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. We got a lot of believers, that's their... They're self-centered, arrogant, living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, extremely self-centered and selfish. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, humility of mind. Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the attitude, virtue love. The Lord Jesus Christ manifested, he had personal love for the Father, so he carried out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, Operation Grace, the cross, and he had impersonal love for all mankind. And there were people that, well, they laughed at him, mocked at him, spit on him, crushed thorns on his head, They beat him up and beat him up and beat him up so his closest friends couldn't recognize him. Then they crucified him. And then they stood around the cross and laughed at him and mocked him and said, "See, he can't even save himself." If you're the Messiah, the Son of God, then come down off that cross. If he comes down off the cross, we have no hope. We have no salvation. And what does he do while he's up there? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What's that? Impersonal love for all. That is what we have in our passage. That's the mental attitude you ought to have in your heart. Impersonal love for all. So, rapport in the royal family is based on thinking virtue love. A couple of things here. One, rapport in the royal family is not based on having a pleasing personality. Rapport in the royal family is not based on having a pleasing personality. Two, the key is to rapport in the royal family is to have impersonal love for all. The key to rapport in the royal family is to have impersonal love for all. Having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Living by the royal family honor code. Having a relaxed mental attitude to all. Live and let live. Giving each believer his privacy. Avoiding all mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Three, impersonal love for all is thinking virtue. Honor. Integrity to all. Impersonal love for all is thinking virtue and honor and integrity to all. That's point four. And that brings us to point five. Inner beauty is a mental attitude. Inner beauty is a mental attitude. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Proverbs 31, 30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And we have some ladies that fear the Lord, have occupation with Jesus Christ, and they're absolutely beautiful. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, I'd go down to Baraka, and I got to meet Mae Walker. Mae Walker, her body was all crippled up. She had 11 terminal illnesses. 11 terminal illnesses. She was all crippled up in a wheelchair, and the family that was having her over, they were responsible for picking her up at her house and bringing her to church and then taking her back home again. That lady, as crippled up as she was, her outside the body she was just a very old lady. But she was one of the most beautiful ladies I have ever met. And when I went in and introduced myself to her, she goes, "Dick Olson, Dick Olson, you're one of my boys." I said, "Ma'am, you're one of my boys. You're on the prayer list. I pray for you. I pray for everybody on that prayer list every single day." She was one of the greatest prayer warriors in Baraka Church. One person said she used to nail demons to the wall every time she prayed. And sitting down, and I just said, thank you, ma'am. Now I understand why everything going so well at Dallas Theological Seminary. I got a warrior like you praying for me. Thank you. She said, well, I'm still here. 11 terminal illness. I'm still here because the colonel needs me. And they would always bring her into Baraka in her wheelchair, wheel her right down in front of the colonel, right? And she put on her brakes so she didn't crash. And she says, he needs me. I pray for him every day. And you know, I hear some of these people saying, well, you know, he repeats too much. I don't know who, boy, I tell you, whoever said that, watch out, here comes the lightning, you know. He repeats too much. And she says, and I tell them, he's not teaching you so you can remember, he's teaching you so you'll never forget. That's what a pastor's supposed to do, teach you so you never forget. I said, amen, sister. That's it. I said, we're on the exact same page. That was a beautiful lady. Now, we have beautiful ladies in here. But they're beautiful because of what's in here. They fear the Lord. They have occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the key to beauty. Having occupation with Jesus Christ. When you have that, when you attain spiritual maturity, have that, you're beautiful. Doesn't matter what's on the outside. And you know, you ladies are, you're fantastic in cosmetoing. Cosmetics comes from cosmeo. And you get all these cosmetics going and you get to arrange everything, and it starts out when the morning, you kind of look like you need a broom, but by the time you come to class, here you are. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. And right after this communion service, in fact, I think I'll stop right there. We'll take a break and we'll end with you ladies on a broom. Not on a broom. And we'll see you in a few for the Lord's table.